Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Thursday, January 15th, 2015. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Jonga Kandemiri.
And this is Ndimiyake Mokalielie.
Here are our top stories this evening.
The Zimbabwe Congress of Trade Unions says many companies are unlikely to open after the festive holiday as the World Bank predicts a depressed 2015 economic outlook for the country.
Consensus decision that we are currently getting from the workers of the field is that we need to engage as well as carrying out demonstrations.
Deputy Environment Minister Simon Musanu dies.
We were shocked by the death of the Deputy Minister. He was a very hard-working man. We've worked with him, you know, since last year when he was appointed the Deputy Minister.
And the ZANU-PF Manicaland province has unanimously voted to expel former Secretary for Administration Didimus Mutasa with immediate effect for what it calls behavior inconsistent with the ruling party's principles.
The Zimbabwe Congress of Trade Unions, or ZCTU, says many companies are unlikely to open after the festive holiday as the World Bank predicts a depressed economic outlook for the country. ZCTU President George Ngiwane tells Studio 7 the situation is bad in the country as the ruling ZANU-PF party is concentrating on settling internal scores while the economy is declining at a fast pace. Nkiwane tells Studio 7 the Labour body is currently conducting consultations at district level in order to map the way forward as it fears that some companies will not open after the festive season, which ends today.
The state of the economy right now, to be honest, we don't even know where we are going and where we are coming from. The economy is continuously regressing. Companies are closing. Retrenchments are being carried out. So there is no future for the working class right now at this point.
And what is the government saying about this? If you try to engage them on what needs to be done to make sure that, you know, jobs are not lost as they are being done right now?
To be honest, which government we have to engage right now? Because the NPS is fighting, each and every individual is fighting for to keep his or her position. The fight that is within our political parties right now. It doesn't show us who then are we going to engage. Because no one is prepared to listen to us right now as we speak. And we don't even have any minister that we can talk to. Because all of them fear to be leveled. And currently they are still fighting to be recognized by the fact that has taken over the land of power within the Zimbabwean government.
So what is your plan of action as, you know, the ZCTU, the umbrella body of all unions in this kind of situation?
When we went for the first season holiday, we were consulting workers and we are yet to conclude those consultations.
What are you consulting on?
We are consulting on what to do in view of the prevailing situation, both economically and politically.
Is there any possibility of strike action?
The consensus decision that we are currently getting from the workers at the field is that we need to engage as well as carrying out demonstrations. I think we are left with about 4 or 5 districts. We have done consultations within all the regions, the provinces. So we are now going down to the district because this time around, we want whatever action we are going to embark on to be owned by each and every Zimbabwean.
That was ZCTU President George Nkiwane speaking with Studio 7 Sandra Nyaira. Over 1,000 people lost their jobs in the banking sector alone last year. Thousands of people also lost their jobs in other sectors.
At the same time, the Zimbabwe National Statistics Agency, ZIMSTATS, says the country's annual inflation stood at 0.80% in December from 0.78% the previous year. This, as analysts warned Zimbabweans to button down the hatches for the economic trouble this year, following a subdued economic growth forecast of only 3.2% by the World Bank. The Bretton Woods Institution says in its biannual Global Outlook report that the growth will only rise to 3.7% in 2016 before slowing to 3.4% in 2017. The 2015 forecast is in line with the predictions plans by Finance Minister Patrick Chinamasa, who say the marginal growth will be propelled in part by the agricultural sector. Studio 7's Ntungamili Nkomo reached economic analyst Masimba Kuchera for perspective.
The projections are a bit of a reality check when you look at how the Zimbabwean economy is struggling at the moment. What it means is that there will not be any serious growth. 3.2% will be difficult to cascade onto the men on the street, but clearly it shows that there are a lot of problems within the Zimbabwean economy, and these projections are also looking at all things being equal. And we know that there are a lot of internal volatilities within the Zimbabwean body politic, which make it difficult sometimes to achieve those projections. So those projections want to look at the fact that maybe things will be as equal as in 2014, but I doubt if Zimbabwean political circles will be static in 2015.
Is there anything that the government can do to stimulate the economy and therefore encourage growth?
Yeah, you see, government has a handicap of being a very bad borrower, because what they're supposed to do was to mobilize funds, especially to boost industrial production. But they could also do a bit more on the policy front in terms of protecting those who have put their money into the country, and in terms of also guaranteeing investments. But in terms of funding industry and underwriting industry borrowings, government will not be able to do that because they're bad borrowers themselves. So it will be a bit difficult for them to attract funds from lender at a reasonable rate of interest.
That was economic analyst Masimba Kuchera on the line with Studio 7's Ntungamili Nkomo from Harare.
In Harare, workers at the Zimbabwe Agricultural Society, or ZAS, conveners of Zimbabwe's largest agricultural event, the Harare Agricultural Show, went on strike today, citing unfair labor practices and non-payment of their 2014 bonuses. Ivan Chifera has the details.
Workers chanted slogans and denounced management at the organization's head office at the exhibition park, saying the lunchtime demonstrations would continue until their grievances have been resolved. Workers' committee deputy chairperson Besta Kupangwa said their grievances include the last-minute decision by the management to stop paying the 2014 bonuses.
We've been trying to say, give us your reasons for not our giving the workers their 13th check, and why you are abolishing all these benefits which workers that got through peaceful and in good faith negotiations. They are not giving us, he's not giving us any reasons why he's doing that.
According to Kupangwa, allowances have been slashed by half, while the company will no longer pay school fees for their children, and workers could be forced to go on early retirement.
It's like he has added more hours of work and deducting the housing allowance, which is negotiated at NEC levels, which is a statutory requirement.
While admitting that the economic situation was bad in Zimbabwe, the workers said management had not shown them evidence that the company's finances were in bad shape. A worker who declined to be named said the company was making huge monies from leasing shops, stands and markets, and as well as hiring out walls in the arena ground to churches, musicians and various organizations weekly. The workers said they will ask Agriculture Minister Joseph Made and President Robert Mugabe to intervene if their grievances are not met. ZAS spokesperson Hitha Madombwe said management and the workers' committee were discussing the contentious issues, and a statement would be issued when the matter has been finalized. As the economic situation worsens, more companies are cutting on salaries and benefits, while others are going for months without paying workers. Last week, more than 200 workers at a pharmaceutical company, Caps Holdings, held their management hostage for hours, demanding their salaries, which have been unpaid for 20 months.
In
This is Studio 7 for Zimbabwe, coming to you live from the Voice of America in Washington.
The government has announced that Deputy Environment Minister Simon Musano died at his home yesterday. Environment Minister Sevia Kasukwere's personal assistant, Kasirai Madawiye, says the minister died on an undisclosed illness at his home. He tells Studio 7, Zimbabwe and the ruling party have lost a dedicated worker.
We were shocked by the death of the deputy minister. I know we had the message this morning, you know, he was a very hard-working man. We've worked with him, you know, since last year when he was appointed the deputy minister. We have worked with him on a number of projects. He was very loyal. So we are really shocked at the sudden death of the deputy minister.
What was the cause of death?
We are still to ascertain the death. I think we heard this morning that it was just a sudden death where he collapsed. Maybe cardiac arrest. We are not sure if the family can be in a position to comment on that one.
So did he die at home or at hospital?
At home.
Do you know of any arrangements that have been put in place so far about his funeral arrangements?
At the moment, we don't have that information.
Okay.
That was Environment Minister Sevia Kasukwere's personal assistant, Kasirai Madawiye, speaking with Studio 7, Sandra Nyaira from Harare.
The ZANU-PF Manicaland province has unanimously voted to expel former Secretary for Administration Didimus Mutasa with immediate effect for behavior they say is inconsistent with the ruling party's principles. The Manicaland Provincial Coordinating Committee met at Marymount Teachers College. Mutasa is under fire from ZANU-PF for rubbishing the party's December Congress and claiming that he remains the party's Secretary for Administration despite being ousted in December.
Party insiders told Studio 7 that Mutasa's long-time rivals in the party, Higher Education Minister Opam Chinguri and Finance Minister Patrick Chinamasa, moved the motion to expel him. There is also a push by ZANU-PF to recall Mutasa from his Headlands parliamentary seat. Party political commissar Sevia Kasukwere had called for a halt to the expulsions after the divisive Congress that saw the majority of party provincial chairpersons and senior party officials being fired. Kasukwere told Studio 7 he will only comment when he receives official communication from Manicaland province about his decision. Efforts to get a comment from Chinamasa, Muchinguri and Mutasa were futile as their phones were not reachable. But tensions have remained high in the party, leading to serious friction. Political analyst Ernest Mudzengi, director of the Media Center, tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that the expulsion of Mutasa is not surprising.
I think this was certainly coming in view of the recent actions by Mr. Didimus Mutasa. You recall his writing to SADC to reflect the latest issue being the statement that he issued and publicized in the private press, which actually attacked President Mugabe. So in light of that, obviously, this was almost coming. ZANU-PF does not tolerate such criticism, especially being leveled against the president of the party.
What impact, if any, is this likely to have on the party?
Now, obviously, this is a play of events that we have already seen. It's a continuation of what was happening prior to, and that's before the ZANU-PF Congress. So this is something that has been happening. And what I can say is that, obviously, it will weaken ZANU-PF in a way.
But are we likely to see a split?
There could be a split as such, but in fact, when you talk of a split has already happened, but it's not kind of official. But what we are simply seeing is a continuation of the weakening of ZANU-PF around the last Congress. I don't think it happened that these guys may claim that they are ZANU-PF. That can happen.
That was political analyst and director of the Media Center, Ernest Mudzengi, speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare.
You are listening to Studio 7 for Zimbabwe from the Voice of America in Washington.
Studio 7 can be found on the 4930, 5930 and 15455 kHz shortwave frequencies. We also broadcast on 909 medium wave or AM frequency.
Coming up,
MISA says there have been few incidents of violence against journalists as former Prime Minister Morgan Tsvangirai visits victims of violence in Harare.
And a closer look at the Zimbabwe economy. Please stay tuned.
But first, a look at regional and international news.
French President François Hollande says mainstream Muslims are the primary victims of radical Islamism in the nation as it deals with the fallout of last week's terrorist attacks by Islamist extremists. Mr. Hollande spoke at the Arab World Institute in Paris, which seeks to build closer ties between France and Arab cultures. He says a crisis like last week's shooting at the Charlie Hebdo satirical magazine can serve to undermine confidence or awaken people to, in his words, quote, shout their message all the louder. 12 people died at the Charlie Hebdo offices and 5 more over the next 2 days in a terror spree in and around Paris. The terror group Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula has claimed responsibility for the shooting at Charlie Hebdo in a video the U.S. government says is authentic.
U.S. President Barack Obama and British Prime Minister David Cameron say they will not allow terrorists to suppress free speech and free expression. In joint opinion piece published in the Times of London, the two leaders promised to, quote, defeat these barbaric killers and their distorted ideology. Mr. Obama and Mr. Cameron said the world would not be cowed by extremists, whether they were lone fanatics or groups such as Al-Qaeda, the Islamic State, or Boko Haram.
And finally, 4 senior officials in the U.S. Secret Service have been reassigned in response to a series of security lapses that embarrassed the agency responsible for protecting President Barack Obama and his family. Acting Director Joseph Clancy issued a statement Wednesday announcing that the agency's assistant directors for investigations, protective operations, technology, and public affairs were being removed from their posts.
The Zimbabwe chapter of the Media Institute of Southern Africa says there was a marked reduction in the number of cases involving media violations in the country, with a total of 22 cases in 2014 compared to 28 in the previous year. In its State of the Media report published today, MISA attributed the reduction to several issues, including less political tension between opposition parties and the ruling ZANU-PF party before and after the 2013 general election. However, MISA Director Nhlanhla Ngwenya tells Studio 7, ZANU-PF continues to be intolerant to criticism, as even First Lady Grace Mugabe allegedly threatened journalists at her Meet the People rallies before the controversial ZANU-PF Congress last month.
The environment in Zimbabwe vis-a-vis the media is always informed by the political stability or instability in the country. These statistics reflect the political context post the coalition government, which others call the government of national unity, after a ZANU-PF victory. So after having won the elections, obviously you found the media subjecting the party to robust scrutiny. Socioeconomic pressures began to swell around the party, which needed the ruling party's attention. So in that process, the media always suffers because the current government is somewhat intolerant to robust scrutiny, which leaves the media exposed and susceptible to abuse.
Looking at issues like media laws in Zimbabwe, you are also referring to some of the laws that are still intact, like AIPA, POSA and others. What really is the way forward here?
I must say, at the beginning of 2014, there was excitement grounded on the fact that you had the Minister of Information by the end of 2013 appointing a commission of inquiry, which was called IMPI, an acronym for Information and Media Panel of Inquiry. We were hoping that IMPI itself would conduct its work urgently and recommend the way forward with regards democratizing the media space, and that entailed aligning the laws with the new constitution, which we believe is fairly democratic as compared to the Lancaster House constitution. But that did not happen as the ZANU-PF political processes took over.
That was MISA Director Nhlanhla Ngwenya speaking with Studio 7's Gibbs Dube from Harare. The organization also expressed dismay in its report that local media laws have not yet been aligned with Zimbabwe's new constitution, a situation that is derailing media pluralism and democracy.
Movement for Democratic Change founding leader Morgan Tsvangirai today visited some victims of political violence in Harare's Budiriro high-density suburb following weekend clashes between his party's members and some ZANU-PF supporters. Our reporter Thomas Chiripasi has more details from Harare.
As Mr. Tsvangirai's motor get negotiated its way through the potholes to local legislator Costa Machingauta's house, where some victims of the weekend violence had sought refuge, some MDCT supporters followed it and sang revolutionary songs as the opposition leader was speaking with the victim. In no time, hundreds of people had gathered at Machingauta's house, prompting Tsvangirai to address them. The former prime minister took a swipe at suspected ZANU-PF supporters who allegedly attacked members of his party at the weekend.
The issue of political violence is past us. Hapana muna angazofazwa akafungira kuti kuchaita image a flare of political violence in a constituency which is dominated by MDs.
One of the victims, Dazen Meta Mawana, told Tsvangirai that most MDCT supporters are now living in fear. Machingauta told the gathering that some unidentified police officers are allegedly working in cahoots with ZANU-PF supporters to victimize suspected MDCT members. He alleged that ZANU-PF had set up a base at Budiriro 5 shopping center where commuter omnibus operators are forced to pay a certain figure daily for them to be allowed to ply the city Budiriro route. Machingauta also alleged that some vendors were being forced to attend ZANU-PF meetings at the makeshift base. But Mr. Tsvangirai said all this was unnecessary, saying the primary focus of the sitting government is to create employment opportunities for its people.
You allow the scepter of political violence to emerge, and then it takes on a gigantic step. That must not happen. It's a primitive political culture.
After addressing the gathering, Tsvangirai visited some vendors at Budiriro 5 shopping center to get the information firsthand. There, he was followed by several people who were praising him for visiting them, but the joy was short-lived when he passed through the ZANU-PF base, where some of the ruling party's members, clad in party regalia, hailed insults at him. Some of the ZANU-PF activists used words that cannot be aired. Meanwhile, some MDCT supporters blamed the weekend violence on Godfrey Gomwe, the ZANU-PF youth provincial chairperson for Harare. However, Gomwe has shifted the blame to Machingauta. President Robert Mugabe and Tsvangirai have repeatedly called for an end to violence, but their calls seem to be falling on deaf ears. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Thomas Chiripasi.
The Zimbabwe economy is struggling as some companies are unlikely to open after the festive season, which ends today, with thousands of workers set to lose their jobs. This comes at a time when the World Bank projects that the Zimbabwe economy will grow by just more than 3% this year. About 1,000 jobs were lost last year in the banking sector alone, which analysts say will probably continue this year as some workers in other sectors become agitated. For perspective, reporter Tatenda Gumbo turned to Prosper Chitambara of the Labour and Economic Development Research Institute of Zimbabwe and Peter Mutasa of the Zimbabwe Banks and Allied Workers Union. Mutasa says when the financial system suffers, it affects all sectors of the economy.
Unfortunately, it is also getting into 2015. We don't really see any improvement. Emphasize any improvement in 2015, but we are actually worried that there are other banks which are actually struggling according to the Reserve Bank analysis and other independent analysis, and we don't think those banks may be able to survive, and that would mean more job losses.
Mr. Chitambara, your take on this issue, as Mr. Mtasa is pointing out the issues that are affecting the banking sector, but also notwithstanding that other sectors are also dealing with this issue of job losses.
I think this problem of job losses, deindustrialization, I think it's a systemic problem. That is not just limited to the financial system, but also cuts across all the sectors. The levels of capacity utilization actually deteriorated or declined last year. And every other sector that we can talk about, I think there are serious challenges, and most companies are struggling. Now, with respect to the financial system, I think there are a number of challenges there, specific challenges. I think the major one is with respect to issues of corporate governance, issues of management of this financial system.
Mr. Mtasa, earlier you spoke about the issue of the banks pointing out that some are dealing with the issue of having to surrender their licenses, but also there's the level of a decrease in deposits. How much will this affect the confidence in the banking system?
I think over a long period of time, the banking financial service system in Zimbabwe has lost incredible consumer confidence. People no longer trust putting their lifetime investments into the banking system because of what happened in the past when we had banks that closed in around 2003, 2004. That shook people. And again, when we changed from Zimbabwean dollar to the US dollar, we did not demonetize the Zimbabwean dollar and reimburse the depositors who held bank balances, positive bank balances in the banks. So that is a cause of concern for the public. But coupled to that, even after post-2004, we have also seen in the U.S. dollar era, banks folding with the Interfin, the Trust Bank, the Capital, the Royal Bank, folding. The major undoing for the banking sector has been the bank failures, and the inability of the regulator to address those issues to do with corporate governance, how to manage failing banks.
Mr. Chitambara, as Mr. Mtasa and yourself are alluding to, looking at the issues within the financial sector, of course, spill over to the general economy itself. As you spoke earlier, there are issues that need to be addressed, issues of corporate governance and such. Do you think that looking at the way things are panning out now, that as Mr. Mtasa is saying, banks and even other sectors can now start to implement changes that will readily stop some of these issues that are being seen in Zimbabwe?
What I think needs to be done, number one, is at macro level to ensure that there's clarity with respect to our regulations, especially the indigenization and economic empowerment. I think we need to reduce the different messages, divergent messages that government officials have been putting. I think we need to address the ease and the cost of doing business.
Mr. Mtasa, last question to you. Same thing. What, in your view, but looking at the general economy, what are some of the things that need to be taken care of?
I think the major issues that have to be addressed are supposed to be addressed at macro level. I think we need to sort our politics. We need to sort our economic issues. We need to be consistent in our policies. You see, we have frightened many people as a nation. And we have frightened the people who matter, those who have got the capacity and ability to put in money into the economy.
That was Peter Mtasa of the Zimbabwe Banks and Allied Workers Union. You also heard from Prosper Chitambara of the Labour and Economic Development Research Institute of Zimbabwe.
So after the show, remember to stay tuned for Live Talk at 8:30 when the Women's Roundtable addresses issues of concern to you. To join the discussion, text us at 001-202-465-0318 so we can call you back from our studios. That number again, 001-202-465-0318.
And now to recap today's top stories. The Zimbabwe Congress of Trade Unions says many companies are unlikely to open after the festive holiday as the World Bank predicts a depressed economic outlook for the country.
Deputy Environment Minister Simon Musanu has died.
And the ZANU-PF Manicaland province has unanimously voted to expel former Secretary for Administration Didmus Mutasa with immediate effect for behavior inconsistent with the ruling party's principles.
And that's our broadcast this evening.
Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele. This is Jonga Kandemiri in Washington.
And this is Ndimiake Mokalielia here in Washington, wishing you a pleasant evening and a very good night.